Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
October 8, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning! Good morning to all of you on this first Friday of the month of October. Once more, let's remind ourselves that the Sacred Heart is the heart of Jesus, the person God made man. And Jesus, the God made man, during his 3 years and a half of public ministry, his heart was always moved with pity, with compassion, with mercy towards the miserable. But then let's remind ourselves that the heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is only an act of love. I mean, merciful, compassionate, and pity are acts of love. And love, we know, is in the Holy Will. The Holy Will of Jesus and His Sacred Heart, therefore, is what we have devotion to. But I repeat, since they belong, His loving will and His Sacred Heart, to the person of Jesus, Jesus, God made man, is therefore the very person to whom we pray to. That's what we celebrate today, the first Friday of October. And tomorrow is the great feast of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary. We shall say more about this, but at the outset, let me say this much, that the Rosary, as a devotion and as a chain of beads, is or was attributed to Saint Dominic de Guzman, a Spaniard, the founder of the Dominican Fathers, the order of preachers. You know, Dominic was born in 1170, and he died at the age only of 52. But it was during his life that the Dominicans started a devotion, a chain of prayers, but meditating on the 150 Psalms. That's how the Rosary originated. Later on, the 150 Psalms were substituted with the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys. So that is it. Tomorrow, October 7, is a date for us to remember, because on this day, October 7, in 1571, there was a battle of Lepanto in the Gulf of Corinth, Greece, fought between the Christian forces and the Ottoman Turks. The fight was won by the Christian churches, and the victory was attributed to Our Lady of the Rosary. In other words, Our Lady's help was invoked with the recitation of the Rosary. So the Rosary was there already long before 1571. And now we are saying this Rosary with these mysteries. The joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, and the glorious mysteries are meditated on during the recitation of the Rosary. These are the principal events in the life of Jesus and Mary. But during this ordinary time, we are expected to meditate on the added five mysteries of light. So we are now in that state. Anyway, before anything else, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith. Realize all that we may reflect on it with hope and realize it with love. Following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. So, now that we are going to the 27th Sunday in ordinary time, we shall go on meditating on one of the five luminous mysteries, which is his proclamation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, we shall now read the assigned Gospel Cycle A according to Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 43. So let us now read from our own copies of the Bible, or listen to the reading by Miss Westell of Matthew 21:33 to 43.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of heaven will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit.
That is it. That's the whole gospel assigned for this coming Sunday. It's actually a parable. All the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. We must have already learned that the parable was told by Jesus Christ himself when he was still at the end of his public life and ministry. So that was maybe the year 33 A.D., Anno Domini. But Saint Luke, who was one of the apostles and now an evangelist, wrote this down only about 40 years after 33 A.D., most probably after Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. So we can see that the listeners of Jesus, who was orally teaching people, were different from the readers of what Matthew has written. And now we, in 2023, when we read this gospel or this parable, we are different people from, I repeat, the listeners of Jesus and the readers of Matthew. What, therefore, is the lesson we can learn, since Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and what he said now is what he said before, as true as before. So this is it. But since the parable, as told by Jesus and recorded by Matthew, seems to stress the negative, the stewards, or the servants, became greedy, they became violent, they did not anymore think of themselves as tenants, but would like to become owners. But that is a negative lesson, that we should not be like them. But I'd like to stress, to highlight one positive, practical point, which is what Jesus said at the end of this parable, that since they were violent and greedy, now he says the kingdom of heaven on earth, meaning his church. He said, he promised this will be given to people, to a people who can produce fruits of love and mercy, not anymore greed and violence. So that is the positive, practical lesson we are now being taught, and I hope we learn. The kingdom of heaven on earth, the church that Christ has promised to build, is here and now with us. We are the church. That's what we firmly believe. Therefore, we ask ourselves, what are the proper fruits that are expected from us to produce as members of his kingdom, as members of his church? This is the question I'd like to ask. But the answer we find in the Cycle B Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. In chapter 10 of St. Mark, Jesus was asked about divorce. He was reminded by the Pharisees that Moses did allow divorce. And Jesus said he allowed that because of the hardness of your hearts. But it was not like that at the beginning. So that divorce, therefore, is a very negative lesson. The positive lesson I'd like to highlight is, what therefore should marriage be? Because there is no divorce if there is no marriage. Marriage is precisely described in this parable of Jesus, in his answer to this question of the Pharisees about divorce allowed by Moses. He says, at the beginning, God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, male and female. Then they are expected to be joined together in marriage. Once joined together, they are not two anymore, but one community of life. The man who wants to marry a woman, Jesus says, must leave his father and mother and cling or join to his wife. So they are joined together in marriage. In our days, marriage is the sacrament of matrimony. So that's what marriage is. And what are then the fruits that the husband and the wife, the male and the female, once joined together in the sacrament and are therefore one, not anymore two, but one community of life. What therefore are the fruits that they should try to produce just between the two of them? I'm not talking about the family yet. I'm talking about marriage between husband and wife, between male and female, joined together. What therefore makes them a community of life, a community of two? Well, we have learned from other passages of the Bible that Jesus said, yes, the two are one. I remember a couple, I solemnized their marriage, came back to me months after and asked me, Monsignor, did you say that the two of us are one? I said, no, I did not say that. The Bible says that. Jesus Christ himself has said it, that the two of them are one. And the husband said, but Monsignor, which one? And I said, no, the two of you are two individuals building a community, one community of two. How therefore to make two one in a community? Well, we have said this many times before. Not only that the husband and the wife, as male and female, as man and woman, should make common the five M's. I have said this before. Make common your minds, your meals, your money, your manners, and your morals. That is what we have said. That's what we have tried to study and learn. But from this gospel, positively, practically, what are we being taught? In the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, cycle C, gospel, we learn that Jesus says that a servant who is truly a servant must love the master totally, must be servant of all. Let us now think of this. Husband and wife, male and female, man and woman in love with each other should therefore try to serve one another. To serve one another without favoritism and without discrimination. But service, we have said this many times before, should be rendered without expecting a return and without counting the cost. Again, I have said this many times, there will be returns, but do not expect them. There will be costs, but do not count them. That is how it is between marriage, between married man and woman. Secondly, we are told that the two of them, at least the two of them at home, should not only serve each other, but share with each other whatever joy there is of success and whatever sorrow there is of failure. Sharing, serving. In serving and sharing, there is therefore a lot of give and take, of giving and getting. But there is no doubt, no denying it at all. There will also be many misgivings and mistakes. And so what they need to produce is maximum tolerance. Learning from misgivings and mistakes. This demands a lot of humility. How therefore the two of them can build a community of one? A one community of two. Again, we have learned from what Jesus has said. Blessed are the peacemakers. And he has said this precisely to begin the peacemaking at home. How then does a married couple, the two of them, make peace? We have already learned that peace to be made must be anchored on truth, justice, love, and freedom. The two of them, just between the two of them, man and woman in love with each other, should be telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to each other. Secondly, they must observe justice. Justice is when there is a place for everyone and everyone is in his or her place. Father, father, mother, mother. Man, man, woman, woman. Husband, husband, wife, and wife. Thirdly, each of them must show mutual love. Mutual love. And lastly, each of them must respect each other's freedom. That is the formula for peace at home, which the husband and the wife, as joined together, as two in one, to whom the kingdom of heaven on earth has been entrusted through the sacrament of marriage, must produce. So this is it. We have learned, or we are learning, a very positive, very practical lesson that, unlike the greedy, violent tenants, we must be a people challenged to produce fruits, virtues, values, principles. We know that it is easier to pronounce principles, but to live up to them is not easy. That's why we always have to pray, because it's only by the help of God's mercy that we shall be able to live away from sin and away from distress. So, the positive and particular lesson, the message for us today, is precisely to look into your marriages. Your marriages, as well as in our priesthood, we are challenged to observe the same principles, to live up to them. Make peace. Make five M's common. Serve and share each other, etc. So, I have said enough about this, because I know these are just reminders of what we have so far been saying. If therefore we just study and hopefully learn this positive, particular, practical lesson, we can be happy and healthy and a holy people to produce proper fruits of virtues and values. I pause here for some of your reflections.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Good AM, Mons.
Good evening. Good morning, Oy.
Thanks for the reflection about the fruits that we produce as disciples of Christ. To serve one another without favoritism and without counting the cost. Something I can focus as a married person. God help me and my husband.
We know this is difficult to practice, but then we have been challenged that we practice what we preach, that we perform what we promise. The I do's that you married couple and we ordained priests, the promises, the vows we made, we are all challenged to perform them, to fulfill them. That needs practice. That needs the help of our Lord and of Our Lady. That's why the rosary, the praying of the rosary as a devotion with the rosary beads is a good help. We should count on it.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
As it is the month of the Rosary, I want to say that I have experienced the fruits of praying it. I have seen how Mother Mary, through her intercession, rearranges events in my life to better benefit me and others. I hope and pray that fathers and mothers pray with their children the Rosary to be able to experience its amazing power.
Yeah. But again, I tell you, we are now highlighting what marriage should be, not yet how family should live together, but just the two of them, mother, not yet mother and father, but only as persons, as partners, not yet as parents. We shall be talking about parents, mother and father and children, family. But this time, I repeat, the point I'm trying to drive home is how, as domestic church, the two of them, how should they live together in peace?
Hello, Mons.
Yeah.
Learning from misgivings and mistakes, what a beautiful virtue to develop, can be used in all relationships, even my relationship with myself. I should stop shaming myself when I make mistakes, but learn and improve the next time.
That's right. We are human beings. Husbands and wives are human beings. And as human beings, we are feeble. We are fragile. And we are fallible. We are subject to this. We are feeble, we are fragile, and we are fallible. We make mistakes, but humility can make us learn lessons. And with Saint Paul, whenever we sin, we say, I rise whenever I fall, I get up whenever I stumble.
Good AM, Mons. I have noticed that in these days, daghan na kaayo mga separated husband and wife. And it is sad because it affects the children and how they see marriage. Sige jud ko pray, Mons, na more husband and wife can pray together and with their family, and hopefully can learn to love each other again.
Yeah. if you really sincerely want husband and wife to pray the rosary, find the right time. Wait for the right time to say the right thing the right way. The right time may not be after office works, the hours after office works. That may not be the time. They may be too busy, too tired to say anything. So wait until you have rested. Wait for the dawn of the next day when you can be in peace to pray the rosary together. But do not force the issue. When one is tired working at the kitchen or working at the office, when they come home, that may not be the right time to say the rosary. Or just because you have stayed at home and your husband has just come in, you tell him, mag-rosaryo ta, ayaw sa. Okay, kapoy pa. Find time. Prudence, or rather patience, is the art of waiting for the right time to do the right thing the right way.
Good day, Amos.
Morning.
Thank you for your practical application of the gospel, especially for married people. This will make me a fruitful disciple of Jesus and not only a consumer of His word and body.
That's true. Once we make holy the Lord's Day by attending Mass on Sunday, let us resolve to precisely listen to the gospel as read, proclaimed by the priest, and on which he, we hope, has delivered a sermon, a homily that is short, simple, and straight to the point. Then we can get out, go forth from the church to our domestic church, the home.
Good AM, Mons.
Good morning.
Single pa ko, Mons.
Huh?
Single. What practical advice can you give to single people like me who want to be ready for marriage?
Okay. As we know, there are three states, di ba? Singlehood, marriage, and widowhood. All these three, we may not be able to choose. They may just happen in our lives. So, being single, priests, nuns, and lay people who have opted, vowed to remain single, they have the grace of God to remain single individuals, persons. But then if there is a calling to become partners, not just persons, but partners, then welcome it. The grace of matrimony is not working all by itself. You have to work with it. You have to work it out. Because the grace will only build on nature. We are not talking yet of just two persons who become partners to become parents. No, we will talk about that later on. But let us zero in our attention and affection on this matter of marriage.
Hello, Moz.
Hello.
Beautiful reaction once again. I have many friends who are now getting engaged and married. I always pray that they will be able to have the values of commitment and trust. Let us pray for the intercession of Mother Mary and Saint Joseph to bless young couples today.
That's right. If you want to talk to man and woman who want to get married in a so-called pre-Cana conference, be more practical. First, talk to them as persons, as male and female, as persons, as individuals. Then later on, you talk to them as partners, lovers, getting married to each other. Only later on, you should talk to them about parenthood, as mother or as father. But please make them understand that they are persons and they are partners first of all. This is what I have actually left to the Family and Life Apostolate, my series of talks that I call P-talks. P-talks. P-persons, P-partners, P-parents, and P-parishioners.
Hello, Mons.
Yeah.
When I feel helpless and hopeless in my life, it is a sign that I have forgotten to include God actively as my partner in my spiritual journey. This is always a good point of humility. I have to live life always in the presence of God to produce fruits. Otherwise, I will feel tired, exhausted, and disillusioned.
And remember, precisely, remember that when living married life at home may be difficult, may be dangerous, try kneeling, and on your knees, pray, especially the rosary, the Our Fathers, and the Hail Marys, and the Glory Bees can remind you of who you are supposed to be and to become. Meditation, by the way, is necessary in recitation of the Holy Rosary. You know, Pope Paul VI, now a saint, who was the first pope to come to the Philippines, he said, recitation of the rosary without meditation is like a person dead without life. So I have said enough about this matter of being part of the kingdom of God on earth, the married couple. Then challenged, accepted the challenge to produce the proper fruits. And so here we ask for God's blessing. The Lord be with you. May the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your hosts, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.